From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. Almost a year ago, John Garang was killed in a helicopter accident. He was the charismatic leader of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement, a southern Sudanese rebel group that waged a 21-year civil war against Sudan's central government. Garang helped broker a peace deal in 2005, just months before his death. Today, that fragile peace persists, thanks in large part to Garang's successor, Salva Kiir Mayardit. Mr. Kiir is considered by many to be the military mastermind behind the South's successful campaign. But since the death of Garang, he has been thrust into the world of politics. Kiir is the current president of South Sudan and the vice president of Sudan's central government. That means he must keep peace between North and South, broker a ceasefire with neighboring Uganda's notorious Lord's Resistance Army, and try to end the genocide in Sudan's western Darfur region. He visited Washington this week and met with President Bush and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. I spoke with President Kiir earlier, and he says the talks with the Bush administration were productive.
The president was very interested to know how things are developing in Sudan. The implementation of the CPA, that is the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, which was signed in January 9, 2005 in Nairobi. He also asked about the situation in Darfur, how to bring about the factions that did not sign the agreement, to bring them on board to sign the agreement, and also how to deploy the UN peacekeeping forces in Darfur.
President Kiir, let me interrupt you and ask whether or not you believe this to be the case. There are those who've been very critical of the Bush administration in terms of perhaps not doing enough to step in with many who see the situation in Darfur as nothing more than a calamity.
It is their responsibility, the obligation of the international community, as they committed themselves to protect the people of Darfur. U.S. administration also should really take the lead to see into it that civilians are protected from different groups that are now active in Darfur.
I want to talk to you about the peace agreement. Many people see it as tentative at best. You yourself have been a military man for most of your career. Now you find yourself on the political side, forced into it by the untimely death of your predecessor and mentor. I'm curious whether or not you believe that this can be solved diplomatically.
Although I was a military man, in the army, it is the politics that you do. The difference is that in the war, it is politics with bloodshed, and it is politics without bloodshed in the diplomacy. I believe we were doing both. And so I still believe that the implementation of the CPA needs diplomatic solutions and not anything else.
There's concern that in the end, because the North is militarily stronger, that they will, in fact, have the upper hand, if you will, to the South region, who holds oil, agriculture, minerals, etc., for those that don't know the region. How can you safeguard the idea that people from the outside may see that as problematic?
Well, I don't think that the North will resort to military options, because they know that it will not be the best solution for them. The only best solution to all of us is the implementation of the CPA. We have been fighting for 21 years, and we have seen the bitterness of the war. None of us would be really in a position to think of going back to war again, because Sudan as a nation is threatened. It can collapse because there are so many problems. There is war in Darfur, and there is war in eastern Sudan. And if the war goes back in southern Sudan, I believe the whole Sudan will be thrown into flames, and that may mean disintegration. So we need really to save our country from disintegrating into smaller groups, like what happened in Somalia.
How do you do that when you see insurgents from the Lord's Resistance Army in Uganda? We have seen regular attacks on the South from that group. How do you make sure that, in fact, you can save it from becoming another Somalia, almost anarchy?
Well, the LRA were actually invited to Juba, to southern Sudan, during the time when we were fighting. And they have no reason actually to come and wage war against the southern Sudanese people. What we are doing with them is to engage them in peaceful negotiations so that they reach an agreement with the government of Uganda. Talks are now going on in Juba, and we are hopeful that they will come out with good results. And all the citizens that have been displaced can be able now to go back to their homeland. Should they then not negotiate in good faith and would want to opt for a military solution, of course that would not be good for them.
Yet, Mr. President, you know that there have been concerns that the Sudanese government has been encouraging attacks by the LRA in the south.
Well, that has been, of course, the case. They were being encouraged, not the Sudan government of today. It was the Sudan government before the agreement. When we became partners in the agreement, I don't think that the government of national unity or the National Congress Party, for that matter, cannot have any interest in trying to destabilize the government of southern Sudan by using the LRA or any other militias. This will not be to their interest also. We are convinced that we will work together so that we bring peace to northern Uganda and automatically to southern Sudan.
If you're used to war, if you've been fighting for 20-plus years, how do you change the mindset of people that there's a better way?
These people, you can of course, change their minds by introducing any developmental projects in the area, because if they don't see any change in the situation, they will still stick to their guns, and many things can happen. But otherwise, people need the development. If this thing starts in earnest, I think everybody will then see the peace dividends and will not like to go back to war.
Mr. President, we should note that you are president of the South Sudan and vice president of the Sudanese United Government, yet there are those who have concern about whether or not this will, in fact, be a government that can work with the sense of and the belief that both areas want to succeed from each other and eventually become independent.
The agreement is very clear. In the Machakos Protocol, it is stated that the unity of Sudan has to be given the chance, and it is the priority that we are now working for. We have the interim period of 6 years, after which southern Sudanese will be allowed to go for a referendum, where they will now decide to vote either for independence or for unity, to confirm the unity. This depends on the developmental projects that will be carried out by the government of national unity in the south to make the unity attractive, and this is what people are waiting for. Should the government in the north, that is the government of national unity, convince the people of southern Sudan that we have chances of rebuilding our lives together and staying together as citizens of one country, I believe Southerners will vote for unity. But if they see that what was happening during the war has never stopped and is still going on, they will have the right to opt out and form their own independent state.
Mr. President, you have a number of things that conflict, if you will. As we noted, from north to south, you have resources versus military. From north to south, you have a predominantly Muslim and Arab community versus a predominantly Christian society. When you look at these things, in order to bring unison, in order to bring people together, can you do this without outside intervention and outside help? If not, talk to me specifically about what you want the United States to do.
Well, I have already made it very clear to the administration of the United States that whatever resources that we have are not enough to build the South and all other war-affected areas. So I ask for more assistance that we can be assisted so that we make developments in all these areas that were affected by the war, and so that the people of these areas also feel that they are part of the country and that there is a change of heart from the central government that has been fighting with them. This is something that we are working for. As for the religions, we really don't take it in the SPLM as a major problem, because we have both Christians and Muslims in southern Sudan, and we always talk about separation of religion from a state. Anybody that uses a religion for political reasons as a political weapon, this thing is rejected by the SPLM, and we will never accept that thing. But as long as religions are given freedom, they can exercise their own faith without any interference by anybody. This is our policy. So I don't think that there is any conflict in that.
You are dealing now, diplomatically, with men that, quite frankly, just a few years ago wanted to kill you. How difficult has that been to be able to put all of that aside and sit across the table? Have you found this to be something that can be worked through?
Well, fighting is much more easier than the administration in peace. The years that we spent fighting, we were doing something, although it was difficult, people were dying, but it was much more easier than the development that we have now embarked on. So the situation of now is not the same like the other 21 years. It is very difficult, but it is a challenge that nobody can run away from. I think we can manage it. We will be able to forge ahead with the new challenges and bring stability to our country, as well as making considerable developments in the South and other war-affected areas.
Well, indeed, we will watch and wait, and we wish you luck as the peace accord continues down the road. Thank you very much, Mr. President, for being with us.
You are most welcome. It is my pleasure to talk to you.
Salva Kiir Mayardit is the current president of South Sudan and the vice president of Sudan's Unity Government.